Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be together, isn't it? As we were thinking of the beauty and as we were singing, "The Lord's My Shepherd," I just sensed the Lord was saying, just linger here. There's no rush. Linger here, my friends. No lack. The provision is truly wonderful. Complete and utter provision. I'm going to turn us to Leviticus chapter 2. This might be a distant memory for some of you. Don't worry. Quite a while back, I felt the Lord prompting me to just look at the first chapters in Leviticus, and with specific attention to the five offerings that are mentioned there. We've covered in some way the burnt offering. We can never be comprehensive. I mean, this is a buffet that is never running out. I don't know if you remember, but I just want to kind of set the scene again. This is in the context, if you think of it, almost like a little series. It's Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate offering. And we'll look at the grain offering together this morning. We'll see how we get on. There might be a part one and part two, who knows. With all of these, I wanted us to be really clear in how we're going to approach it. And my starting point was in Luke chapter 24. And verse 27, I don't know if you remember that context, but Jesus is, it's the road to Emmaus situation, and Jesus in verse 27 of chapter 24 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Wow, that must have been amazing. So Jesus is with disciples who had hoped and had their hopes disappointed temporarily. And that's the context. And in that, he opens their eyes. It's interesting, isn't it? He opens their eyes. We've been thinking of that this morning. But focus in there. It says he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's our key, if you like, for looking at these passages in Leviticus. The things concerning Christ, okay? And then further down in Luke 24, you could just cut in verse 44. "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms,'" and here it comes again, "'concerning me.'" All things must be fulfilled concerning me. How wonderful. And then it says this, "And he opened." I love the fact that the Lord's got the power to open. He's able to open eyes. He's able to open unstopped ears. We heard that last week. He's able to open understanding. He's able to open doors. He has the power, my friends. He's mighty. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend, that they might understand the scriptures." You know what? You can be a really bright man or woman. You can have great study skills and research skills and all of those wonderful things, and they're great. And you can know the Bible back to front, inside out. You can memorize huge chunks of it. But unless we're granted by the amazing grace of God, revelation from the Holy Spirit, the work, the active working of the Holy Spirit, we don't really see. We don't really know. And the Lord's been calling us in this morning, hasn't he? To friendship, to fellowship, to relationship with him, like we've perhaps never known before. And I, for one, am He's got my vote. I prayed that in the prayer meeting on Thursday. Has he got your vote? He's got my vote. I want to follow him. Praise his wonderful name. So can we have that in mind as we turn to Leviticus chapter 2? And also as we come to read, we're just going to read 16 verses here. Remember the context for this in the first five chapters of Leviticus. The context is at the end of Exodus, the cloud and the glory, the meeting place, the place filled with the glory of the Lord. And then Leviticus starts now. The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from that place, from the tabernacle of meeting, from this great heart and desire for relationship. He calls and he says, speak to my children. And that's where we then have this unfolding. Isn't that wonderful? It's important, isn't it, to recognize the heart behind the thing. Otherwise we get lost often in the detail and confused. But oh, hear the heart of Father. He hasn't had a change of heart. His heart has always been that his people should know him. And he's made full and wonderful provision. So let's read, shall we, just some verses in chapter 2. So we're coming now to the grain offering, and this is the Lord speaking. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. And if you bring an offering, a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes. Did I mention to anyone I'm on a health program? So whenever I hear about cake, it's a bit of a trigger for me. I'm not allowed any just at the moment. Sorry, I just thought I'd let that out. Better out than in. Cakes of fine flour mixed with oil or unleavened wafers anointed with oil, verse 5. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it should be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. Are you getting the repetition here? You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord, and when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion, burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads, and you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain, part of its oil, with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Wonderful repetition there. I don't know how you found that. Enjoy Leviticus 2 verses 1 to 16. Yeah, feel inspired to go out into the week and live your lives for the Lord. Every scripture is profitable. Remember our starting point. Christ revealed. My theme for this little series, Christ, Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. So that's our way in, okay? Obviously it had a context at the time. Really interesting, these offerings were there for God's people who had already been brought out. And this was just this remarkable opening up of provision from Father's heart so that they could be in ongoing relationship and walk with Most Holy God. Wonderful, wonderful provision. So, the grain offering. I'm going to struggle here, aren't I? It's nearly quarter to. Let's do this. So the grain offering, sometimes it's known as meat offering. That doesn't mean meat as in what we understand by that. It just means food, the food offering. So this accompanied all the burnt offerings. And like the burnt, I don't know if you saw it, there's this wonderful phrase, a sweet aroma to God. And the ingredients, as they're repeated there for us, we have to hang on for the fourth ingredient until a little way down, but the ingredients are clear. Very interesting. Are you ready? Flour, oil, frankincense, and salt. Nice work, people. You were listening. Well done. Salt, seasoned with salt. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. The grain offering is in contrast. You can compare with, but also in contrast with the other offerings. There's no, interestingly, no mention of sin here. And contrasting with the burnt offering, there's no blood shed. Did you notice? So if we think the burnt offering is somehow this offering up of life to God, and we saw Christ there, hopefully you remember Christ in all his wonder as the ultimate burnt offering. Here, the grain offering, still there's this sense of offering to God. But it's interesting because the offering is the fruit. It's not the life, it's the fruit of labors, the fruit of the earth. And in a sense, and some commentators really go for this, the distinction here is there's something wonderful about a kind of, if the first is, you know, a kind of owing to God, then the grain offering here, in a sense, is that what's owed to fellow man. Can you see that distinction? Now, come back to the Lord. Oh, his beating heart is all through this. I love it. The fulfillment, if you like, of our duty to our neighbour is part, it comes after the burnt offering, but it is part of the offering to the Lord. And do you remember these wonderful words that Jesus said? This just came to me as I was thinking about this. Jesus says in Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And you know what the second is? And you shall love, this is from God, from God's beating heart. First, love me with all your heart. And the second, and amazingly, it says, which is like it? The order's important. Which is like it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Daniel said, sometimes that's quite hard. You're not wrong. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's from Jesus in Matthew. So here we see the fulfillment of Christ in this specific regard. It's wonderful. It's like this multifaceted opening up of truth that is all fulfilled in Christ. And as we focus here on the grain offering, we see Christ in this wonderful way, in his living and in his dying, fulfilling love your neighbor. And for us, dear friends, this is so wonderful. So wonderful. And how does he do this? Oh, it's rich in the scriptures. Christ is, in fact, the bread. He's the bread of life. He perfectly fulfills the grain offering. In fact, we read in John, he's the seed that falls into the ground, the corn of wheat. In order to bear much fruit, this is full fulfillment in Christ our Saviour. Oh, praise his wonderful name. He's the bread. He's the seed. He's the bruised and broken one. In this regard, to feed mankind. To love his neighbour. Are you with me? This is so precious. I'm going to struggle to communicate, but my heart has just taken a leap, a hop, skip and a jump as I've been mulling over these things this year. Oh, how precious. Let's look again at the ingredients and we'll see how we get on. We might only get through two and then you'll have to wait for the rest of the recipe. Firstly, flour. Flour. Bruised grain. Symbolizing clearly, I know I'm speaking to those who can see, but may God by his Holy Spirit as we meditate, open our eyes and warm our hearts to love him more. Symbolizing clearly the suffering as an offering here in this regard for the needs of mankind. For his neighbor. Really interesting, in Isaiah 28, it just has this phrase, bread flour is ground. Bread flour is bruised. That's another word translated, ground or bruised. And then it says, but not forever. Glory, glory. Beaten grain. Look at 14 and 16, verse 14 and 16. Beaten grain. The bruising and grinding was not just at the cross. Throughout his precious life, he came as the suffering servant, didn't he? Prophesied by Isaiah to meet the needs of a lost and broken humanity. In a very real sense, to feed the world. And here he is fulfilling this second of these great commandments. We can't separate them out. Burnt and meal, burnt and grain would go together. It's just for our purposes as we go through this little series. We're looking in on a specific aspect, but we can't detach it. It's all going on, all being fulfilled day by day, moment by moment, by our blessed Saviour. Praise his wonderful name. Bruised grain, flour. And interestingly, there's one other little element here. Have you noticed what kind of flour are we looking at? Verse 1, 2, 4, 5 and 7, just in case we're not getting it. Verse 1, 2, 4, 5 and 7, it says fine flour. What does that speak of? Not only bruised and ground, but this surely represents something of the character of the Christ as he walked this earth. How shall we put it? Such an evenness in his character. Such a balance, such a harmony. No loss of temper. Complete patience. Under the greatest pressures from mankind. You can read the Gospels, it's full of it. And see him. See, my friends, the beauty of Jesus, the grain offering. Angry? Yes. On a number of occasions. But bless the Lord for his pure righteous indignation. That wasn't for one moment a loss of temper or control. but was an expression of the holiness of Almighty God in perfect balance and evenness of character. He was able to cleanse the temple without losing the plot. He wasn't out of control. He wasn't in a rage, an uncontrollable rage. He was absolutely measured and in control. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was manifesting something of the glory of God. And even in that, he was being the grain offering as he made a way for the oppressed, for those who were being abused, for those who were being taken advantage of. He strode in there, our glorious man of justice. And with perfect expression of justice and righteous indignation, he put things right and he cleansed. Glory to his wonderful name. Don't you love him? Fine flower. Oh, praise his wonderful name. He was surely the perfect man. We heard this morning, there's only one. Manifesting with all humility and all grace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you want a kind of summary of this, you can go to Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this is Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's Christ. I love the little addition on the end. Against such, there's no law. Lawless behavior. Don't you just love the fruit? The fruit of the life. Oh, praise his wonderful name. We'll probably get just to ingredient number two. Ready? Oil. We read it, didn't we? Oil. Repetitive. Oil. Mix it with oil. Anoint it with oil. Oil, oil, oil. And at this point, the scriptures again are abundantly clear. This surely speaks to us of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity. And Christ, in specific regard here, the anointed one. Praise him. So many places we could go, aren't there? Let's just turn to Luke to see most clearly. At the start of his public ministry, if you like, I mean, it was throughout, wasn't it? From the moment of his birth, his infancy, his childhood, the teenage years, up through into maturity as a man, his working life, and then we come to this, his baptism. In Luke 3:22, and it says, and the Holy Spirit, and again Mark's already referenced this, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. The oil was poured onto the flower. Come on. The oil was poured onto the flower. And here he is. And I love the way Luke expounds this. Anointed and inspired by the very same Holy Spirit. We read in chapter 4 verse 1. Then Jesus being filled with the oil. The bread filled with the oil. Returns from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. There's the oil again, into the wilderness. It's interesting, isn't it, that the first temptation, we're not going to go there, definitely not now. The first temptation comes along the line of bread. Did you notice? Oh, wow, the dramatic irony. I love how this plays out. The bread of heaven is here. He's come down, just like it was prophesied in Isaiah. He's here. He's anointed with oil. He's the grain offering and the devil. Seriously, apart from anything else, the cheek, the audacity. This perfect man on the back of a substantial fast, let's not pretend here, he's going to be really, really physically hungry. And the devil comes to him, hey, turn those stones into bread. And what does Jesus say? Quoting Deuteronomy 8. It is written. The irony, the word comes back with It is written. And the bread is dealing with a temptation about physical bread. Just mull over that. That's amazing, isn't it? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And here he is, the grain offering. He's demonstrating the perfect life in every regard. Glory to his name in the harshest of temptations. He's been there for you. In the greatest of pressures, he's been there for you, for me, potentially for everyone who, oh, if by the grace of God, they would see and respond to this one. And then it says in verse 14, he returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. We know these scriptures. And then to his manifesto. Do you remember Mike a few weeks ago spoke of this as the manifesto of Jesus? Just listen and think of the oil. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and he sat down and all the eyes are on him. Oh, I love this. Whew, the focus, waiting with bated breath. And he says to them, today. That day hasn't ended. This is the day. This is the day. Today. This scripture, this word is fulfilled. There it is again. All things fulfilled in Christ. Do we see? Oh, praise his wonderful name. And we are absolutely coming into land now. Ingredient number two, we will save the rest for later. Acts 10:38, Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his household. Do you remember? And listen to what Peter says in the middle of that amazing sermon. Wow, where did he get so gifted? Something had happened. Oil, my friend, that's what had happened. Day of Pentecost. Oil. And Peter says, God anointed Jesus. Do you see the focus? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about, and this is the grain offering, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the grain offering, bruised grain, anointed with oil. This is our Jesus, the servant king. The suffering and the power are connected. Broken bread feeds the hungry. The sorrow and the joy are inextricably interlinked. The loss and the gain. So for us this morning as we close, let's see him afresh, embrace what seems sometimes like the tension, and worship him. Oh, Jesus. Shall we pray? I know we're often looking for practical application. I think the Lord's been indicating what it is this morning. See Jesus and be changed. Not the other way around. Not try and sort yourself out. Not try and improve or change. And then hopefully you'll discover something more. No, see him. And in the seeing, be transformed. But he surely has to evermore be the focus. It doesn't. We don't discover him and then suddenly get refocused on some self-improvement plan. No, it's Jesus. Christ, 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 filling our horizon. You want a vision for the future? There you go. Great mission organizations. I think it was Leighton Ford asked about what's the purpose, and he just said, this is it. Jesus Christ, matchless treasure. He was leading a big mission organization, Jesus. Jesus. What's the strategy? Jesus should be known. Is that in your heart? This is what the world needs. Should we pray?